appreciate the message that we've heard. I think those of us at Piney Grove needs to pay attention to this idea of proving. If you remember, Elder Thomas Bond just recently, that was a big part of his message. We've heard it again this morning. I may touch on it again before we're done. The Lord does send messages to his church, doesn't he? You know, he sent those seven messages to, well, the message to the seven churches of Asia, seven messages, and all of those messages was to be read to each church, but some of them applied directly. You know, a message was given to each church directly, but the other churches are supposed to hear that because there's probably going to come a time when they would need that other as well. Appreciate the message this morning. I want to deal with the time that's remaining. I want to deal with the idea of realigning. Maybe that's in line with proving. Realigning our thought, our heart. You know, this time of year, I usually try to think back over the year, how I've spent the year. Has it been profitable spiritually, I'm talking about? So if the Lord would bless us for a little while this morning, I want to talk about a time of reflection, a time of consideration for the present, and thinking about the future. How has our walk this year been viewed by God? You know, we see each other maybe on Sunday morning, maybe a few times through the week. We see each other. We see glimpses. We see portions of actions. But God sees us every moment. So whatever we see from time to time of each other may be one thing, but God sees us all the time. So again, the question is, how has God viewed our life over the last year? What has he seen? Has he been pleased? Is there a need for some improvement? Thank you for those. I know there's a great need for improvement in my life. I suspect there is in yours. And when we talk about improvement, again, we're talking about in the spiritual realm. So when we stop to think about how the Lord has seen our life, we just heard how that the scripture calls upon us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your, what was that word?
Reasonable
service. It's not unreasonable at all. And that word present has the idea of once and for all. When you look into that, Brother Paul talked about the beseech, but that are also that present. The idea being taught here is a once and for all. In other words, it's the idea of making a commitment. Now, we know that we're going to come short. There's going to be days when we stumble and falter along the way, but our commitment ought to be there. You know, there are people that don't quite see grace like we do. They talk about committing your life to the Lord, and they speak of it in terms of so that you can have eternal life. But we understand that no one's going to have that desire unless God's already done a work in their heart. They're already a child of God, but there is plenty of room for us to commit ourselves to living faithfully to the Lord. After all, he's the one that loved us. He's the one that had mercy upon us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Not can be, might be, you are.
Yes.
You are. And so we're to present our bodies once and for all. You know, I think when I preached on this before, I talked about how that, you know, I think first one I ever heard this say, and I read it in commentaries and so forth, so it wasn't original, but the first person I ever heard make point of this is Elder Michael Goins. He said, you know, the problem with us, the scripture says to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. He said, the problem with us is we keep crawling off the altar. We need to make that commitment and to commit ourselves to living in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. He sees us at all times. He sees us on our good days. He sees us on our Sundays. He sees us on our bad days. And we all have the good and the bad days. And while our circumstances sometimes are good and sometimes not so good, God is always good. And what he has done for us is always good. And therefore, we have reason to always be joyful in our heart as we deal with the circumstances we're facing in life. So we need to look back. Think about, reflect on what our life has been like in this past year. Remembering how much the Lord loves us, how much he's done for us. He's the one that loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son to this world to save us from our sins. Oh, just think about the love of God every day. Think about his mercy. Think about his grace. And I'm reminded of that, something I saw not long ago made the statement, you know, some folks, they expect to live with God in forever in glory. But they don't want to talk to him each day. And they don't want to come to his house on Sunday to visit. And yet you want to claim that you're going to live with him forever in glory? Somehow that doesn't line up, does it? We need to realign our thinking and our heart to think about how much God loves us. And bless your hearts, he's worthy that we respond to his love, that we manifest his love in the things that we do and what we set our affections upon that would bring glory and honor to his matchless name. You've probably heard the statement before, and I'm thinking about this reflection here and how we can evaluate that. But, you know, Elder Ferris used to say, if every member was like me, what kind of church would this church be? That's pretty good food for thought, isn't it? If every member was like me, what kind of church would this church be? Think about the last year. How has that been? Well, I'm thankful for each one of you. I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying. There's room for improvement. There's room that we draw closer to the Lord. There's room for more light to come forth in our lives. There's room for more love in our heart. There's room for more love to be shown forth from us to others, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's what we want, isn't it? For God to be glorified. And we need to be close to him in order to do that. He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We've shared it already. All right? So as we think about that, help us. May the Lord help us. You know, when we start examining ourselves and we start thinking about how we could improve our lives, you know, it kind of stings sometimes when we see those shortcomings in our own life, doesn't it? Or you know, especially if somebody were to try to exhort us or encourage us or to maybe make mention of something that we need to improve on, why, you know, the human nature, and I'm safe on this, I believe, human nature is to want to blame somebody else for our shortcomings. You know why I say that? Because when God confronted Adam, you know what he did? I heard that, but let me put it this way. He blamed everybody in the world. There was only one more there. I'm talking about people. But listen, he blamed everybody in the world. You know, if you're not careful, this old flesh will do that today. But God sees us at all times. He knows our heart. He looks on the heart, doesn't he? He doesn't look on the outward appearance. He looks on the heart. He knows. He can discern the very thoughts and intents of the heart. You can't do that. All you can do is judge the fruit. Okay? But God looks upon the very intent of the heart. And he knows what it is. The psalmist said, "Lo, there's not a word in my tongue. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, thou dost know it altogether." Wow. God knows. And he knows it correctly. Precisely. Constantly. May God help us think about the blessings we have and how. You know, and so one more thought about the past and evaluation. I ask you about, you know, if every member was like me, what kind of church would this church be? Well, let me ask you this. If I continue my life like I've lived it the last year, will Piney Grove be here another 170 years? You know, in April, it'll be 170 years since this church was established. If we continue our lives next year like we have this year, will this church continue to thrive? Will it even be here? We need to think about that. See, there's nothing wrong with God's church. Jesus set it up just the way he wanted it. But he left it to us, for us to follow his word and conduct ourselves in a way that he would continue to be pleased and come and be one in our midst. But there are times when churches close the doors. And sad to say, a lot of times when a church closes the door, whoever's left, they're believing the truth. But something's happened about practice. Something's happened. And you know, I know there's situations where people move away for jobs and things like that. And there's all kinds of reasons. You can't just say one thing. But it's so sad to me to know of churches that have closed believing the truth. And so if we believe the truth, let's live the truth. Let's worship God fervently. He's worthy of it. Think about what we've done over the past year, good or bad. Think about it. Think about then what we can do in the present. Now, when we think about the present, I'm going to share something with you. Whenever I go places, quite often I'll get the question, as a matter of fact, I was asked that here by some visitors not long ago, how's the church doing? Now, I want to be real. I want to be honest. You know, I believe it was a genuine desire. And the first thing I can say is, we are blessed. Aren't we? Oh, goodness. God has been so good to us. He blesses us every day. There's times when he manifests his presence and shows us how that he's showing us those tokens of his affection. And whatever we've done and however we may have failed in so many ways in our lives, God is so good. I think so many times about the children of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because of their unbelief in what God told them to do and promised to do for them. And yet, even in those times of murmuring and complaining in the wilderness during those 40 years of wanderings, the manna still fell.
Amen.
God was good to them.
Amen.
And God's good to us today. Oh, could it be better? Yes. Could it be better? Well, if we stop and think about it and see how we might be able to not be conformed to this world and be transformed by the renewing of our mind and draw closer to the Lord and renew our commitment to serving Him and our faithfulness to the church, those kinds of things. Yes, it could be better. You sure, preacher? It just seems like a hopeless call sometimes, doesn't it? No, I wouldn't say that. Read your Bible. Read your Bible and see how God's been long-suffering with His people, how merciful He's been with His people, how He grants them a time of revival from time to time. There's times He gives us a grace. Grace for a space. Isn't that what Ezra said? God has given us grace for a space to give us a little reviving. Oh, He's merciful. But we need an honest evaluation of ourselves every day, not just at the end of the year. You know, it's not just a time that's been set for inventory. It's something we ought to be doing every day we live. Examine ourselves and see God's goodness and mercy. You know, it seemed like I asked this question some time ago. I don't know how long ago it was, but how far is it between your lips and your heart? Remember me asking that question sometime? I'm sure you do. How far is it between your lips and your heart? Do you know that depends upon how high your nose is in the air? See, when we commonly think of somebody with their nose up in the air as being proud.
Yeah.
And the reason I ask between lips and the heart is because in, it was Mark 7. Let me go read Mark 7. Jesus referred to the words of the prophet Isaiah, which Jesus himself had inspired. This is between the lips and the heart. See, I ask you a question you were thinking naturally, but let's turn it spiritually. Mark chapter 7. These are red letters in my Bible. How about yours? If you have a red letter edition. Mark 7, beginning verse 6. He'd been speaking to the Pharisees and how they were putting more emphasis on their traditions than God's word. And he answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied unto you hypocrites." Wow, that's strong language, isn't it? Well, if we're, you know, I mean, there's times. There's times when we can be hypocritical about some things, isn't it? And Jesus never pulled any punches. I mean, he always spoke absolute truth. How far is it from your lips to your heart? He said, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, Thy this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And you may have been thinking about, you know, less than a foot. But he said, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." If we're going to do an honest evaluation of ourselves and our discipleship to the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be careful about how close is our heart and our lips as far as, what are we saying one thing and our heart somewhere else? You know, worship can be rather empty and dry if our lips are saying one thing and our heart is far from it. We need to evaluate ourselves. Or as Paul said to the Corinthians, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. All right. So, we need to examine or evaluate ourselves today. Not just looking back. Like Brother Paul said, you know, time is fleeting. And I don't know if he said exactly this, but he gave us the thought. You can't go back. You can't go back and reclaim time. That's why it's so important for us to redeem the time that we have. How many opportunities did we have to glorify God and we didn't? We were too busy with the things of this world that no glory to God was even given in all those hours that we spent doing those other things. You know, it's sad to think about how little time that we actually spend glorifying God. I know we got responsibilities. I know you got responsible positions. It requires your mind and all that. But you can be living your life. You can start your day. You can be going through your day with a joyful heart, a thankful heart. You can be praising God in those moments when you have an opportunity. You know, we can be doing that all throughout our day as we go about doing our jobs. If we start our day with a thankful heart, a heart of gratitude, because we are so blessed. How wonderful when you just stop and count your blessings. You know, we sing that song sometimes, but it's such a good thing to do, isn't it? Count your blessings. I know you never get done, but it's so good to think about them. Because when you think about them, and when you think about it, and you realize, once again, how blessed you are, you're apt to break out in praise to God, saying, thank you, Lord, for all your blessings on me. We don't do enough of that, do we? You know, and how many times do we keep asking the Lord for this and asking the Lord for this? When my thought is, we don't need to ask the Lord for anything else until we sufficiently thank him for what he's already done. Thank him. Thank him on a regular basis for the many blessings that he gives us. So we need to be mindful of how blessed we are and have a time of gratitude and honest evaluation of where we are. You know, the psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So if we take this word and use it each day, then it'll show us where we are. It'll show us in what condition we're in. And it'll help us, it's a light into our path. So it'll light the way that we need to go. So we need that light to show us where we are and who we are and what we're doing. But we also need the word of God to show us which way to go. And this word will do that for us each day. Anytime you need it, it's there. All right? What about the future? I know the time's about gone here. What about the future? If I live my life this next year like I did last year, how much glory will we give to the Lord? How much commitment will we have in his service? How much time will we spend thinking about others and the need for others and doing what we can in service to him? You know, Brother Paul mentioned a man that was evidently was wealthy and was willing to pay folks to relocate. That'd be great if you could do that. I couldn't do that. But I can pray for folks.
Amen.
If I see some need, I could spend some of my time in service to someone. You know, that Brother Paul quoted out of Matthew 25, and it says, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You want to serve God? Serve one another.
Amen.
He takes it personally.
That's right.
Yeah. It doesn't. Sometimes doing things like that doesn't take a penny. All right? But it does take time.
It sure does.
It does take some love.
That's right.
You know, you have to be careful now. You start giving love away, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to run out. You're going to have more.
Right.
Isn't that wonderful? That's just like the way God works. That's just like him. He's given us something that's so precious that if we'll just use it and give it away, he gives us more. He multiplies the love that we have.
That's right.
You try to hoard it up and not show love to anybody, and you're not going to have any yourself. Isn't that amazing? We have an amazing God who has all wisdom, all power, all glory goes to Him. Let's just serve Him a little better, maybe a lot better this year than we have in the past. And maybe you've done a wonderful job at serving Him. But you know, just like the church at Thessalonica, Paul commended them for their work of faith and their labor of love and their patience of hope. But he also exhorted them to abound yet more and more. There's room for growth. There's room for more good works. Because we are saved. Because the Lord has saved us. Because he has blessed us in so many ways. There's plenty of room for us to respond to him that shows our thanksgiving, our gratitude, and our love back to him. We need that on a daily basis. So, I want to take a minute or two here. One more passage. It's Psalm 138. Psalm 138. It's a good psalm. I may just read the whole psalm. It's only 8 verses. Don't worry about it. If you haven't turned to it, you know, we're not talking about 40 verses here. We should consider how we spent the last year. We need to do an honest evaluation of what we're doing now. We need to look to the future. The future is so uncertain, isn't it? None of us know what's going to happen. None of us know, good or bad, what's going to be going on in our life the next 5 seconds, much less all next year. But God does. God knows. As Brother Paul said, time doesn't mean anything to God. He's eternal. We're timely. We only have a short time. You know, I guess it's true for any of us, but what I was about to say is, you know, the older I get, the more I realize how little time I may have left. That's true of all of us, even for Kendra. You know, she has less time left than she once had. And we never know. I told you about Elder Steve Wilkinson, you know, a stroke at his age. Servant of the Lord, we never know. We might have a little time, we might have a lot of time. But whatever time we have, you'll never surprise God. God will never be surprised by anything. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we're to walk by faith. Walking by faith. And so we're trusting God. Our faith needs to be energized. And love is the energy of our faith. Yes. Faith worketh by love. That word worketh, you look it up. It means the energy of it. Faith worketh by love. And so the more we're reminded of God's love for us, and the more love we feel toward Him, the more energized our faith will be. So listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 138. I hope you found it by now. I will praise thee with my whole heart. You know, my heart sinks a little bit when I read that. Because I don't know if I've ever been able to praise God with my whole heart. But I want to try. I want to keep trying. Out of thanksgiving and gratitude for what he's already done. Not asking for more, just trying to thank him for all that he's already done. All right? I'll praise God with my whole heart. Before the gods, that word gods there with the little g has reference to rulers and people in authority. Will I sing praise unto thee? Yes, I want to sing praise to God before anybody. The Apostle Paul wasn't ashamed to preach the gospel before kings. As a matter of fact, one of them on one occasion in the latter part of the book of Acts, one of them said, "Paul, much learning doth make thee mad." He said, "I'm not mad, most noble Festus. I'm not mad." And even Agrippa that was sitting there beside him, he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you? Or are we trusting God that he'll take care of us? Whatever the circumstances we face, whatever trials we go through, whatever life gives us, can we trust God to be there for us? The Apostle Paul did. I'm bouncing around here, but 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul talks about how the trials that came upon him and the sore trials that he endured. And yet the Lord delivered him. He said, "We had the sentence of death within ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raiseth the dead." Bless your hearts. That's who we're trusting in. The one who has power over life and death. And so, we want to praise him with our whole heart. Okay? He says, "I'll worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord." Though the Lord be high, he says, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. You want to worship God? Want to draw nigh and draw close to him? James tells us, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. But this verse tells us something that would hinder us greatly in worshiping God. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud, he knoweth afar off. How far is it between your lips and your heart? If the nose is too high in the air, it's farther. Oh, but if our heart's away from God, it's a long way. Some people honor him with their lips, but their heart is far from him. He hath respect unto the lowly, the humble, the thankful, the grateful, the merciful, the kind, the loving. He hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. The proud who are trusting in themselves and trusting in something other than God are far from God. It's hard to walk with him when he's not close by. Oh, may God help us to continue to walk with him each day. The psalmist goes on to say, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me." Anybody need some reviving here? Oh, yes, we do. The church needs reviving. But that reviving has to happen individually before it'll happen in the church. It's not going to do, the church is not going to revive against what the members are experiencing. But we can be revived in personally, individually. And oh, may God help us to draw close to him and serve him as we should. "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. For thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord," listen, "the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine hand." I think a companion verse to that in the New Testament would be where Paul told the Philippians, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Brethren, God is so faithful to us. He has blessed us so wonderfully. May God help us to renew our commitment, our confidence, our trust in serving Him better. I don't care how well we've done it in the past. May God help us to serve Him better in the days ahead. May God bless you is our prayer.